and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I feel good. Why do I feel good? Because I'm looking at StephanieMiller.com. Do you notice that happy glow about me, Jim? It's because I'm a new mother.
Wow, you didn't show at all.
Yeah.
I know it.
You popped that one up quick.
I know it. I gave birth to an 8-month-old Great Pyrenees puppy just a few days ago. Yeah. And look at me, I bounced right back. Yes, is it up? Is it up? It's StephanieMiller.com.
Yes, just go to the gallery section and into the Steph's Dogs section, and you'll see a picture of Freddy.
Max has a new mini-me. His name is Fred. I rescued another doggy from Gentle Giants Rescue, the official rescue of the Stephanie Miller Show, out in Norco. Bert and Tracy Ward. You remember Bert? Robin?
Bert, yes. Ward, Robin from Batman,
Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Mrs. Robin is on the phone. Good morning, Mrs. Robin.
Good morning.
It's Tracy Ward, everybody.
Yay!
The Mother Teresa of the dog rescue world.
Well, thank you. We love you too, Stephanie.
Oh, we love you back. Please go to GentleGiantsRescue.com. Rescue if you can. Donate if you can. They are truly doing the Lord's work out there. You just got a bunch of dogs. Before we talk about me, you got a bunch of dogs from Taiwan?
Yeah, actually, we've started rescuing from Taiwan because, no one else is. So rescues here have to start helping them too. And they're just in conditions there in shelters where they're, on hard floors, out in the cold.
Oh,
and so we've actually just flown some Great Danes and some Pyrenees here. Some of them are getting major surgeries, and others are being treated for heartworm. But all of them, actually, ours, have already been treated and are ready for adoption. And
you have a Great Dane that you saved and is missing an eye, but I suggested someone get a patch and a parrot and adopt him.
I told everybody that I'm hoping someone will adopt her. She is actually the cutest thing in the world. She's 2 years old, beautiful harlequin named Brandy. Thinks she rules the world with or without an eye, and thankfully God gave her actually a black spot over that eye, so it looks like she has one anyway. But she came here with an irregular third eyelid, and, we did surgery, and her eye looked so incredibly beautiful. We were so excited. And then, unfortunately, the biopsy came back that it was a malignant tumor that was there. So in order to save her life so she didn't get cancer, we had to take it out. So now she's totally safe, looking for the best home who like you said, could play with that eye patch and that parrot and just love her for who she is, just like you love our dog.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, and we talk a lot about dog rescue on this show, but what Bert and Tracy Ward are doing is really extraordinary. They send, they pick dogs up from all over the country. They do these surgeries. If you can spare a buck or two, or you can rescue or foster for them, please do that, because you guys really are doing something amazing. And I would come live with you if I could. I spend so much time there.
You kind of almost live here, Stephanie. What Stephanie hasn't told everyone is she actually comes here and spends a lot of time with the dogs.
Yep.
I don't know. I think you should talk about that more on the show, but I know you're very selfless
about
it.
Well, Tracy, because there's a reason. Dogs like me a lot better than people do. So, I fostered you remember my favorite story was Buddy, the Leon Burger. Remember, I trained him to use my dog door, but he thought that he could only go at the same time I was going, so we once did get stuck there for quite some time.
Well, you sent us that radio interview. We definitely have to put it up. I think he just liked to go out at the same time as you did, so he trained you to do it. Sometimes our dogs are smarter than you think.
Yes, I was trying to show him, here's how we go out the door. No, not now!
And he, I think, was like almost twice your size, too, so that must have really been a funny scene. It's unfortunate he didn't send us some pictures.
I was lucky that my nephew came home. He lives with me part of the year, because otherwise it would have been a long day.
Yes.
However, we should tell the story, because I haven't obviously talked about this on the air yet. I rescued Oliver from you, the Tibetan Mastiff puppy, maybe 3-4 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I had a serious health crisis in my family, which I can't talk about. It's about someone else's privacy. But anyway, so I ended up having to foster him and give him back, because I had to travel almost every weekend. He was just a puppy that wasn't house trained.
He was a baby, and it's when people have crises in their lives, we're also here for them. You adopt from us, we're here for any support. And obviously, when we get them back, they're totally safe here. And you foster for us so many times before that was the responsible thing to do, so that he could go on and find a great home, and you could take care of the emergency you had.
I know. Well, and it, you know, it broke my heart, but it just, you know, when you called me and said, I have an 8-month-old Great Pyrenees, you know, I was like a bee to honey. I was out there in Riverside County in like 20 minutes. It's like an hour drive.
That's true.
But anyway, because Max has needed a playmate, and so the timing was right. But I have to say, I've been out there and seen some amazing and beautiful stories. There's that one Great Dane. I remember that guy that got deployed to Iraq. Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know, I can't ask you to keep him for me.
Oh,
because
that was the saddest thing. I mean, it was, well, you know, when that happened, when September 11th hit, so many of our adopters that were in the military, we have so many incredible military homes that we love. You know, they do everything by the letter. They take care of our dogs so well. And it was amazing because so many people were base managers where they never thought they would ever have to go.
I
mean, and they're calling me saying, oh, my God, you know, we are going to have to go to war. And one of them, he had this dog that he loved so much. She's a gorgeous Great Dane named Ava. She thought she was a movie star, and, you know, obviously she was the love of his life.
Right.
And he comes back here and he says, do you think you could keep Ava for me? Because when I come back, she's all I have. And, you know, I said, definitely, I'll keep her for you. I don't care how long it takes. And then right in front of me, I mean, he starts to cry and he says, you know, don't keep her. What if I don't come back? I don't want her to miss having a great home. And it just, like, totally broke.
Unfortunately, this is not a good ending to this story. So he did end up dying in Iraq.
Yes. Yeah. It was very sad.
Yeah. Is Ava still there with you? Or
actually. The good ending for Ava was that she found another home that loves her and still has her.
And I got to tell you the other story. I'll never forget. I don't know if you remember. I was there one day when this little, I think they were from Reno, a girl and her dad came, and she had lost her brother in Iraq.
Right.
I was sitting there with her, and she had a tattoo, and I was like, oh, what's that? And she said, it's my brother that just died in Iraq. Anyway, but they adopted Gunner. Do you remember the dog?
Yes.
It was a Great Dane's name was Gunner. And literally, I saw the girl burst into tears when the dog was, like, hugging her with both. And I just thought, oh, my God. I mean, seriously.
Well, you know, it's so sad because it's like, you know, we love all of our homes, but we really feel for the military. In fact, you know, I have to find it. We never put it up on our website, but I once wrote an article I think it was called The Pet Press, A Defense of the Military, and actually used the story about Ava and a few others because someone came out and said, you know, well, why adopt to the military because they bring back the dogs? I go, you know, that's not true. Our military homes keep our dogs for life, you know, unless they happen to die. But, I mean, really, you're going to fault them for defending our country? I mean,
anyone who
faults our military homes for that should go there themselves instead.
Yeah, well, Trace, and also, you know, we've talked about that, you know, clearly with the economy the way it is and the housing crisis and foreclosure, you're getting a lot of these dogs. I mean, I've been out there a few times, and it's heartbreaking, people that are just crying. They don't want to give up their dogs, but they've lost their house. They can't afford it.
No,
they're in 90-something percent of the apartments
that love the dogs.
Right.
Like, we recently had a wonderful adopter crying his eyes out. He adopted this gorgeous English Mastiff for me named Cassie. His little baby crawled all over. He had a 4-pound Chihuahua, and he lost everything he had and had to relocate to another state. I mean, he was still trying his best to keep her, and then when he got back, he couldn't even drive her back to me. I had to have her picked up because his car got repossessed.
Oh, God.
And you know,
still,
he calls. She has been readopted. Fortunately, we have found her right home, and he still calls and said, how is she doing? I miss her
so much. Guys, if you can, I know it's a tough economy, but GentleGiantsRescue.com, they're truly doing the Lord's work. They don't give up on any dog. They go get them from other states. They do expensive surgeries and all that. So please, if you can help. Let me tell you a story before you go. Freddie, my son, he sleeps on his back in my lap, looking up at me like a baby.
While you're trying to do work.
Yes, he actually lays on top of me while I'm trying to do my show prep. So that's my new excuse for not being prepared.
Don't try that with a Great Dane.
Well,
another thing Stephanie hasn't told you too is, and you'll see on our website, we have to put up her video. She actually spoons in bed with her peers.
Oh yes.
Oh,
oh yes.
Boy.
Oh yes. It's like being in the Pyrenean Mountains. It's just a lot of white mountains and white fur.
Yes, and she gives them endless peerless jowl kisses because we taught her to do it, and we've watched in person that she peerlessly jowl kisses them wonderfully.
And the biggest career break I've gotten recently, will be pictured on the new dog food bag of the Gentle Giants Rescue dog food,
really?
which is delightful dog food.
Oh, actually, believe it or not, it's the best dog food made. We made it to actually help them live longer lives. Huh. You know, the dogs here are actually living 14 to 18 years because of our feeding techniques, the way we care for them, and we've now made food that will help them, you know, help prevent them from getting all of the problems that sometimes plague larger breed dogs, like bloat, torsion. We have actually, in all of our years of doing this, never had a dog here get it. You know, we also, you know, in feeding them several more times a day than the average person does, it just prolongs their life tremendously.
Tracy Ward, I love you and your husband, Bert, but not in the way that Batman loved him, but just in a really pure dog-loving kind of way.
Well, they're actually so good chums, believe it or not.
I know they are. I know they are. GentleGiantsRescue.com. Thank you, honey. Talk to you later.
Well, we love you all, and thank you for being a wonderful dog rescuer with us. We love you guys.
All right, honey. Thank you. There she goes.
Hooray!
Tracy Ward doing the Lord's work.
No relation. I put a link to General Giants up in my Twitter feed, and you can find that on the homepage of StephanieMiller.com.
Go look at Fred. How do you go to Fred now?
You go to the gallery section and go to the Steph's dog section.
That was in the back of my car the day that I got him. And he is Max's mini-me. He looks exactly like Max.
I'm not going to be a mini-me for much longer.
He's going to be about 140 like Max's.
Yeah.
He does lay on me in the morning when I'm doing my show prep.
That's not going to last.
Freddie, Mama, this is how Mama buys a kibble. Get off of Mama. Mama has to read the story about the healthcare.
You're going to need to break him of that habit before he gets to be 140 pounds.
He's getting there already. He's only 8 months old.
Oh, God.
Our Harlequin Great Dane slept in the bed with us sometimes.
Yeah.
He kicked when he was screaming.
Yeah. Oh, no. So I'm that kind of dog lover that I will sleep in this sliver much of the bed because now both of them must get up there. And that's the one rule. You cannot move the dog. All right. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story. Oh, Chris, you and I, the Law and Order liberals.
That's right.
Not going to like this story. Whoopi Goldberg has defended Roman Polanski, saying he didn't commit rape. It wasn't rape.
No.
It's a different kind of rape.
Not rape at all.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Wondering if you'd buy that if it was your 13-year-old daughter, but I'm just, she said on The View it was something else, but I don't believe it was rape. I went back and read the transcript.
Yeah.
Rape.
And according to the laws of the state of California, you cannot consent to sex if you are under 18 years old. So yes, it is rape.
She said, we're a different kind of society. We see things differently. Would I want my 14-year-old, actually she was 13, would I want my 14-year-old having sex? Not necessarily, no. Meanwhile, Martin Scorsese and Woody Allen, maybe Woody Allen might have thought better of this.
Yeah, he needs to shut up. Shut up about this.
Are among a group of people in the film industry who have signed a petition objecting to the 76-year-old director's arrest. We have us.
We have Scorsese, Woody, and...
a whole list of Hollywood people.
It's an Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward's Piece de Resistance.
Hey. Hey, come on. So the guy got a little drunk on the mistake. Could happen to anyone. I mean, who hasn't gone to Singles Bar and had a few too many and picked up what he thought was the hottest tamale ever seen and found out that she was packing a tamale, didn't stop throwing up for 3 days. And then there was a time with that goat. But what was I going to do? She was making eyes at me, freakishly demonic horizontal eyes. And anyway, she wanted it. Just saying.
Well, you know, speaking as a film director, you know, has made many films with overt references to having sex with teenage girls, I feel uniquely qualified to comment on Roman's situation. Look, I'm sure... She was a very mature 13. She was practically 16 in real years, which, to me, is, you know, a little long in the tooth. Like Mariel Hemingway, Manhattan. I mean, she was already on the way to college. Besides, I need a little more kink to get me excited, like a whiff of incest. Come to think of it, I shouldn't have called the movie Manhattan. It should have been, you know, Little Rock.
Look, Roman and I have been pals a long time. Even though he damn near cut my nose off in Chinatown. I like my nose. I like breathing through it. I also like snorting through it. Been there, done that. You start mixing your poisons, a little Panama red, a whole lot of Cuervo, and a healthy dusting of Peruvian marching powder. Before you know it, you're banging anorexic starlets young enough to be your younger sister.
Yeah.
Much younger sister. Sister, daughter. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Did he rape her? A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, he raped her a little bit. A little bit.
That was
strong.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week, buddy, friends. Oh, man.
That came from...
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't, as we all know, I'm a childless loser. Well, except for Fred and Max.
Right.
But my best friend has a 13-year-old girl, and, yeah, I would kill him.
especially if someone plied her with champagne and a Quaalude.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately,
do people do Quaaludes anymore? That's such a 70s thing.
That's a 77 thing.
Yeah. You have to go to Mexico to get Quaaludes.
Really?
All right.
Or so I'm told. No, I've never.
20 minutes after
I missed out on Quaaludes. Damn it!
You picked a hell of a decade to stop doing Quaaludes.
Yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, right
the
back with
decade.
More of our thoughts on that, celebrity stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois coming up in just a couple minutes on the Celebrity Hotline.
Yes.
Filmmaker Michael Moore in about an hour. Check me out. And Representative Frank Pallone of Jersey in hour number three. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, Tim in Chicago.
Hey,
hi, Tim.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi. I just had a comment about the whole situation about Roman Polanski. Mm-hmm. People are saying, she looked older than 13.
Yeah.
But I think that shouldn't really be part of the argument, because if you let that stand, it sets a precedent for more cases. Where, you don't want people citing,
Well, plus, I think he knew she was 13, first of all, so it didn't really...
Exactly,
yeah.
And, and if you say, if she's older than 13, it makes it not as big of a deal, then that diminishes the right of any 13-year-old
right.
who looks more mature, it diminishes their right, not to be raped.
Right. Just because they look older than 13 doesn't mean they're mentally older than 13.
Right, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, frankly, obviously I guess I am by definition a Hollywood liberal in that I'm a liberal that lives in Hollywood. However, <Yes. laughs> I think it makes us look bad to defend stuff like that,
It's inexcusable to defend something like that.
Yeah.
But...
And again, it's like we've talked about prosecuting the Bush administration, which we should. It's like all crime happened in the past. It's like, oh, well, it was a while ago.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, all right.
He's been on the lam. And he's been caught.
Here's Jim Ward has made the very important point that one of the reasons we don't have real health care reform in this country is because we would rather watch a semi-celebrity eat a bug on television.
Right.
What does this say about our society that they had to write a story that the reality show Survivor was not harmed by the tsunami?
Oh, thank
the
God. That's not what really matters.
The people that were killed. It said, oh, whoo.
Survivor's safe.
Yeah, the Survivor reality survived. Show Survivor. Yeah, not some people unnecessarily. Oh. But Survivor is safe in Samoa, you'll be happy to know.
Mm.
A spokesman for the CBS reality show said no crew members were harmed by the powerful earthquake that struck the South Pacific between Samoa and American Samoa around dawn on Tuesday, which is good. We're happy no one from Survivor was harmed. However, we're just saying...
However, our
perhaps out of respect to the people that actually did not survive, they might want to hold off on the press release about the reality show Survivor. Just saying. In the Isn't It Ironic file.
Yeah.
Okay.
Priorities much?
Exactly. This is not a good morning for Hollywood values,
no.
unfortunately. All right. Much more celebrity stack, but Representative Jan Schakowsky, one of our personal favorites, the rockin' congresswoman from Illinois,
yes.
to update us on health care and much more.
And the Olympics to Chicago, too.
Oh, yeah. As we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The only time I was ever awake this early was in my 20s, and I was still up from the night before.
Filmmaker Michael Moore coming up in about an hour, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As we slog through a little bit of celebrity stack, Barbara Streisand sprained her thumbs giving Robert De Niro a massage.
That's a weird.
It was sprained a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. She was giving him a vigorous rub down for a scene in Meet the Fockers.
Meet the who now? What?
Fockers. The movie.
Be careful how you say that.
He kept saying to do it harder. I sprained both thumbs. Oh. I had to have cortisone shots. That's method acting, she said.
Hmm.
Because he kept saying to do it a little bit harder.
A little bit harder. A little bit. You go deeper. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. A little bit.
I just wanted to hear that again. Okay. Thank you, Jim. All right, I'm not the only one adopting children willy-nilly.
No.
In my case, you know, furry ones. But Madonna has said about having another child, never say never. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. She is, this might be, I wonder if it's another call to Child Max, Jim. The celebrity adoption agency. She has, you know, her daughter Lourdes and her son Rocco, and then she has David and Mercy, both 4 years old.
Right.
And she's thinking about apparently marrying her 22-year-old
so she'd
Brazilian
have another kid.
Model guy.
Jesus.
Is he really 22, or is he only 13? And
why can't
older?
I find one of those? She says, who knows, I have my hands full right now. I have no idea. That's all I'm going to say. Never say never. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I think sometimes you should say never.
Yeah.
Yeah, her eggs are crustier than mine. Mine are like dead egg walking, but hers are even older.
Plus, you know, the kids are going to be raised by nannies anyway, when she's off performing, so.
Oh, Jim. Okay.
That's true.
You know why celebrities need more children? To spend $3 million on their clothes, like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes do on Suri's clothes.
$3 million?
Actually,
she needs more clothes!
You're going to wear that again? No!
Burn it! You wore it once! Burn it! Throw it away!
Wow. This is, how about this story in this economy? Actually, $3.18 million they've spent on Suri's clothes.
Over three.
A source said Katie and Tom splurge on Suri, and they're so famous they always get the top fashion designers to custom make their clothes, which then they outgrow in like another couple of days or so from my friends that have kids. Wow. She has been spotted wearing outfits by Armani, Versace, Cavalli, and Burberry. She has some $206 Mary Jane shoes from a French designer. Suri office often changes a few times a day. Ooh, it's like fashion week for Suri.
It's like a Cher concert.
She's even not that headdress.
Yeah, God.
She's even said Katie is even said to have a smaller version of the $3,970 Valextra bag she bought. I don't know any of these. I as you know, I wear a baseball cap and a T-shirt pretty much every day.
And Uggs.
So, yes.
Your Uggs from
2001. On my way to spinning class. I don't really wear. I don't know. $4,000 for a purse? Anyway, she has a smaller version made because she said the toddler was so desperate for her own version.
I don't think I've ever even seen you carry a purse.
I have.
Have you?
They cost considerably less than $4,000.
Only when she's wearing her white gloves.
Yeah.
Sir, the toddler was desperate for a $4,000 designer purse. Oh, that's a little bit of a nightmare. I can't take that.
That's going to be a nightmare of a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
A New York court dismissed Dan Rather's $70 million breach of contract lawsuit against CBS. Yes. Noting that the network continued to pay him $6 million a year even after he left the evening news broadcast. Rather's lawyer said he was extremely disappointed in the decision and would appeal it to the Court of Appeals, New York's highest court. Hmm. Well, you know what? I'd be fine if they just kept paying me the $6 million a year.
Yeah, but it's kind of the principle of the thing. They fired him because
story that was true.
The story was true.
Yes.
But someone, I'm thinking Rove was behind it, gave him false documents that were then instantly pointed out to be false by the right wing spin machine.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Wendy in Chicago makes a good point. Whoopi also defended Michael Vick.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I thought of that immediately. Good morning.
Good morning.
When I heard Whoopi defending this, because I remember last year, and with your new puppy, Freddie, this is very poignant.
Oh, don't even talk to me about Michael Vick.
She actually said, well, you know, with Michael Vick, it is a cultural thing.
Yeah, it's just a Southern thing.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a Southern thing, and that's really what gives us happy, clappy liberals fodder for these right-wing, because we can't defend Roman Polanski about this. A crime is a crime.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And guess what? Some liberals have 13-year-old daughters, too.
I have a 14-year-old, and thinking about her last year with Roman Polanski in a hot tub and Quaaludes.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good point. And I love Whoopi. I mean, but what's up with Whoopi on some of these?
Yeah, slavery was a Southern thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Justin Timberlake and Rihanna, an item? Delisted.com, one of our favorite purveyors of the celebrity snark, writes, according to Star Magazine, Justin started scooting his lips on...
His what?
His... sitting. Just sitting, okay?
Oh, okay.
They're very dirty. On Riri's Infinity Head of Wonder at an after party for the VMAs a couple of weeks ago, Riri must not have minded that Justin sounds like Minnie Mouse screaming when he orgasms.
And because you would notice how?
I don't know, because they've been texting and talking ever since. Delisted. You're snarky. Come on. Not as snarky as thesuperficial.com, one of our other favorites. Their headline is Mel Gibson and a euphemism for a vagina go for a jog. Because this picture has been everywhere. He has a beaver puppet on his hand.
Yeah, that's strange.
Because he's starring in the new, filling your own joke here, Jodie Foster film. Is it called The Beaver? I think it's called something. It is. It's called The Beaver. It's about a man with a beaver puppet. Okay.
That beaver looks
really? I had never. Really?
Yes. It's a film. Yes. What do you think this picture's from?
I talked about it. All right. Tinseltalk about a year ago, I think.
Yes. TheSuperficial.com has written dialogue between the beaver puppet and Mel Gibson.
Oh, no.
Mr. Beaver, what are we going to do tonight, Mel? Mel, same thing we do every night, Mr. Beaver. Blame the Jews. Mr. Beaver, wow, really? I thought we'd just get drunk and drive around. Mel, can we say it's the Jews' fault? Mr. Beaver, I can't hang out with you anymore. Mel, is it because of the Jews? Mr. Beaver
says,
get your hand out of my colon. All right, superficial.com. Come on. All right. Yesterday, you know what? And I'm just going to claim the power of the Stephanie Miller newscast for this. But when we started talking about the Newsmax article that seemed to be, you know, kind of encouraging a military coup against a military overthrow of President Obama, then that magically disappeared.
Yes, it did.
Michael Steele will be talking about that later.
Yes, magically disappeared from their website. However, because John Perry, he's a prize-winning writer, they said. They didn't say what kind of prize.
What kind of prize? No.
And if he got it from a bubblegum machine. But it's apparently it's some prize. Maybe Cracker Jacks.
Cracker Jacks.
He has a prize.
A prize. That's what you get with Cracker Jacks.
I think we should start referring to me as the prize-winning Stephanie Miller. There's no need to be more specific.
What prize have you won?
It doesn't matter. Newsmax isn't specific.
I think you did win Radio Host of the Day on from
I
that
did.
One.
And you got a medallion from the Burbank Chamber of Commerce.
That's true. Yes.
No, the Burbank Democratic Club.
That was actually a great.
I was fourth runner-up in America's Junior Miss in 1979.
Oh, you did win that prize. Did you get anything for that?
No. Okay. Anyway.
The admiration of your peers.
It's kind of like getting an Emmy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or so I'm told.
My point is, the same as it always is about the state of today's Republican Party, it is not like in my dad and Goldwater's day when there is at least a semi-coherent, decent, actual party that is the Republican Party. Today, they're the same as these lunatics, like from Newsmax. But anyway, the RNC is tied to Newsmax.
Yeah.
These people are nuts. And by the way, freerepublic.com. This is what yesterday, which we covered the breaking news. On Newsmax, John Perry, the prize winner, wrote, "There's a remote, although gaining possibility, America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the Obama problem." Don't dismiss it as unrealistic. A coup is not an ideal option, but Obama's radical ideal is not acceptable or reversible.
Yes, it is reversible.
The RNC appears to provide financial support to the website that published it. Indeed, the RNC has borrowed Newsmax email list. So Michael Steele could fearmonger about the Democrats' desire for socialist control of our lives. RNC has also rented an email list from WorldNet Daily. The even more...
WorldNut Daily?
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
One of the main culprits behind the birther conspiracy theories about the president not being born.
Wow.
Okay. So they're all the same now. Republican Party and the right-wing lunatics. They've all magically melded. All right. 42 minutes after the hour, back with it. We don't know where Jan Schakowsky is.
They're tracking her down.
All right. We need an update on the healthcare debate as we continue. And the Olympics.
The Obama problem.
The Obama problem.
Yeah, and we'll talk to her about the Obama problem as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Forty-eight minutes after the hour. Hey! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Filmmaker Michael Moore coming up next hour. We're still trying to track down Congresswoman Schakowsky. Yes, Christopher?
The Dow is now down 58 points.
Doink. Hey, speaking of stocks, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, Jim, what do you think this means? Health insurance stocks rise after defeat of public option amendments.
Huh?
Huh? What does...
almost as if they make their money by denying people coverage.
Huh?
Huh.
That's weird how that happened. Yeah, this is the only story you need to listen to on this healthcare debate. Health insurance stocks rise. Again, how do you not get that this is only good for the health insurance companies? It is only good for the private insurance companies, not you. So they defeated the Senate Finance Committee, as you know, defeated the Rockefeller and the Schumer amendments, which would have added a public option to the committee's bill. As the Wall Street Journal reports, shares in health insurers Humana and United Health shot up following the votes. Shares of companies that operate private health plans turned higher or trimmed losses in afternoon trading Tuesday right after the Senate vote. Huh. Weird. Meanwhile, the disgraced former CEO of Columbia HCA Healthcare, Rick Scott, who heads the anti-reform group Conservative Patients' Rights. Have you seen those ads?
Those ads are all over the place.
Mm. He released a video where he called yesterday's vote a great day. He means for him and the other.
Yeah, Skippy. Mm-hmm. It's the public option is in four other bills going into committee. So yeah, don't get so excited there, Skippy.
Have you seen this is the have you seen this guy, the whistleblower? He's the former Wendell Potter. He left Cigna last year over its opposition to health care reform.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Bill. It's Potter. Why, George Bailey, you're nothing but a warm, frustrated young man. More dead than alive.
He was warped and frustrated when he worked for the insurance companies, and now he has broken free, and he is, He said the Finance Committee advancing legislation without a public option marks the first time that a health reform bill has been put together that the industry supports. So, this is even better than they could have expected. What does that say to you? He actually said this is him quoted. This is the first time that the insurance industry has really seen a great opportunity in healthcare reform with an individual mandate, which would require all of us to buy insurance if we're not eligible for a public government-run program, which fortunately many people are. We would have to buy it in the private market from insurance companies, many of whom are for-profit companies. So billions and billions of taxpayer dollars will flow right into the treasuries of these big for-profit insurance companies. So we will be essentially paying a tax that will help support those insurance companies. It will be an enormous bailout of the health insurance industry. You would think that we might have lost our taste for bailouts of enormous for-profit industries here America. He also said while numerous members of Congress sought out his advice as they crafted health care legislation, not once did he ever hear from Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus. Again, interesting. He said there should be a debate about single-payer health care in the United States, and he said he thinks it will eventually take a social movement to get the kind of health care that we need in this country. Thank you, Mr. Potter. Let's give a boy a hand. That's all you need to know about the health care debate. So you're either, it's like Jay Rockefeller, I think, phrased it perfectly. Are you for the people or are you for the health insurance companies?
Mm-hmm.
That's all
right.
You need to know about the health care reform or the public option. So the health care reform survived a long day of Republican challenges over abortion, illegal immigration, and other issues Wednesday, all just ploys to slow this down. Because, by the way, those are things that already explicitly are written in the bills.
Yeah. Or are covered by other statutes.
Yes.
Like the Hyde Amendment for abortion.
The bill's architect claimed enough votes for passage by the Senate Finance Committee, possibly by the end of the week. We're coming to closure, said Max Baucus. It's clear to me we're going to get it passed. The point is, what are we going to get passed?
Yeah.
Here's how stuff that to me is ridiculous, how the Republicans are just trying to slow walk this. Senator Orrin Hatch argued that provisions already in the bill to restrict federal funding for abortions need to be tightened. Abortion rights supporters said the proposal would have expanded the current restrictions and could deny coverage for abortions to working women signing up for coverage through private plans. We have Orrin Hatch.
My amendment is simple. It states that federal taxpayers' dollars would not be used to pay for subsidized abortion.
The approval of Hatch's amendment, Maria Cantwell, the senator from Washington, said it would be a poison pill if it is hung on this legislation. It is legal, and women that have, private insurance plans that it's covered under, how are you going to do that? How are you going to take that away? It's like, oh, no, now you can't have that covered because Orrin Hatch says so. Oh, Lord. All right. Senator Harry Reid on the Finance Committee bill.
I hope that the
Finance Committee will finish in the next few days. Once they do that, I'll need a few days to work with the chairman, as I've indicated, in the White House to come up with a bill.
All right, let's go to Steph in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steph.
Hey, Steph, and congrats to your new pup, Fred.
Hey,
how darling.
Freddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I heard this wonderful congressman from Florida yesterday, Alan, I don't know how
Oh, my future husband, Representative Alan Grayson, Democrat of Florida.
He's got to be a fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, because we have, exactly, we've explained the Republican health care plan many times.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
I think he is a fan of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Buckled over when I heard it, so I'm just asking.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I also think he was singing "I've Got the Power" when he was doing it too.
Yes, so, like Congressman Ellison was back there going, "You've got the power."
Well,
you know, Steph, I have to say, I mean, it's so rare to see a Democrat with a spine that we're kind of like, huh? But I mean, seriously, how rank is the hypocrisy this time on the right? That you know.
Yeah, it's crazy, and you know, and with Boehner, you know, crying there, he can make a scene and throw things around, but someone that just stands up and speaks the truth.
Well, I don't know if you, saw, you know, last night. I think Rachel Maddow had a montage of Republicans saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Virginia Fox about
it.
The Democrat, and there
was
no
the plug on Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God, well, geez, it's
exactly, and you can't see the difference between that and yelling at the President of the United States. Like, so now they're asking for a resolution to condemn Grayson. It's like, oh please,
which is ridiculous because we all know the other dude was he's a racist goofball. So
thank you.
No issue.
I think we will take that from now on. Noted racist goofball Joe Wilson.
Yes, I didn't swear, and it's almost a week that I quit smoking. So
good. Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Right, congratulations. I was going to get to all this, but so I don't know if you saw the speech on the House floor, Representative Alan Grayson. We have some of the.
If you get sick in America, this is what the Republicans want you to do. If you get sick, America, the Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick.
And, of course, he was forced to apologize.
Well, seriously. So Republicans threatened to introduce a resolution.
Right.
They won't condemn Joe Wilson. But
So he got up on the House floor yesterday to say that he was going to apologize, and he said this.
I apologize to the dead and their families that we haven't voted sooner to end this Holocaust in America.
Yes.
And I think, you know, Keith Olbermann pointed out last night, we should all stop with the Nazi analogies using the word Holocaust. But the fact is, 45,000 people a year do die in America because they don't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you call it whatever you want. But the other thing he pointed out is something we also pointed out. Remember the things that the Republicans were waving at the president rudely, in addition to yelling at him during the speech? They're supposed to be the Republican health care plan.
Uh-huh.
It was nothing. He said, that's what I said. They were props.
Right.
See, because he walked over to look at one. It was nothing. It was blank paper, which is exactly what their health care plan is. It was even, remember the budget they put out without numbers in it? This was even worse.
Even less.
This was nothing.
Yeah.
There was no effort whatsoever went into this. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, back with more of the controversy over Congressman Grayson and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, we've said before, Sicko should be the documentary by Michael Moore,
yes.
Should be recommended viewing. before you're allowed to say anything about the health care debate.
That's right.
Yes.
In America. Oh, why, look at that. Michael Moore will be on the Celebrity Hotline in less than a half an hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email all their executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We found her!
Hooray!
Representative Jan Schakowsky, you better be in Copenhagen bringing those Olympics home if you're not on my show.
Well, I offered the president, if he wanted me to accompany him, I was more than happy to do that. But I think he's got it covered.
He says, chill out, he's got this.
He's got it covered.
Can you believe, Congresswoman, that isn't this perfect example that the right wing, they're just against anything he's for? What can
anything.
Be more American than trying to bring the Olympics to America?
Anything. Well, yeah, that he's acting like it's, he's mayor of Chicago, like it's only about the city of Chicago. We're the only U.S. city. He's got his eye. I'm telling you, those beaches in Rio, that's where he wants to do his tanning.
Yeah, yeah. John Boehner. I know. John Boehner said he's acting like the mayor of Chicago. You would think that would be what a proud, just sort of bipartisan American moment if we could have the Olympics, right?
Chicago's in the United
USA,
States.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they tried to kind of imply during the campaign, that Chicago isn't really part of America.
What?
It's almost like
we
Hawaii.
We are America. We are the heartland.
Yeah, you sure are.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I don't know what the chances are, but I mean, I feel like they're looking good, right?
I think so. I feel good about it, and it'll be just such a boost. And it's not just a boost to Chicago. People will come not only from all over the world, but certainly from all over our country. And it'll be Chicago is such a welcoming place for people everywhere around the world. We're a very diverse, immigrant friendly, believe it or not, immigrant friendly city, and people will. Discover Chicago.
Here is a fun fact for you about the Stephanie Miller Show. Every one of the members of our show have lived in Chicago at one time or another.
That's right.
No wonder it's so great. No. That includes you, huh, Steph?
Yes, it does. Indeed, it does. I had a place right down there on, where is that? Lakeshore Drive. Oh, Randolph. Randolph and Lakeshore Drive, right around there.
Fancy.
Very fancy.
Well, yes, except that I got fired from my radio job 6 months later. That's another story, Representative. We'll talk about payback for those people later.
I was at Clark and Belton.
All right. Anyway, Congresswoman, I try to even understand the arguments. I think it was Chairman Steele that said, "Oh, well, if that's our priority, is to jobs in, because obviously this will create a lot of jobs." The Olympics.
315,000 jobs are projected, which is creating more jobs than we lost in the whole country last month. So, you know, this is definitely a economy booster. We're looking at really billions of dollars in generated revenue. It's a good deal all around.
Well, except what he said is, if this is just about jobs in 7 years, apparently he's unaware that you can't just put up the Olympics overnight. That this won't be jobs in 7 years. You actually need to build stuff. So there will be some jobs that need to start before it actually happens.
No,
correct?
Not clever. No.
He thinks it's like Ringling Brothers. They just put up a tent and everything. Yeah. All right. So, Congresswoman, where are we with health care? Obviously, you know, there was a vote in the Senate Finance Committee that seemed not to be good for a public option. But, however, Senator Schumer says that it was positive, he thinks, for
See, that's the thing. You know, it's not just a question of half full or half empty. It's a question of reality. We did better on the public option in the least favorable setting in the Senate, which is the Finance Committee, than anybody thought we would. We got 10 votes, 10 Democrats on his public option, 8 on Rockefeller's. I don't think there's any question that at the end of the day, when a bill with a public option is sent back to the Senate for a final vote, and I'm sure that it will be, that it's going to pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, when these amendments fail, the fact that the stocks for healthcare companies went through the roof should be, a perfect, and I think it's this one whistleblower, the guy that left, Wendell Potter.
Yes.
You've probably seen him all over TV. So, I mean, this is nothing but a giveaway to private health insurance companies without a public option.
He feels that even insurance regulation that is setting all kinds of rules to bind them, that what they're really good at is figuring out how to make money. Yep. Without competition, he believes, we will not, in fact, bring down the cost of health care. We won't keep the insurance companies under control.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how they think, oh, magically, you know, they'll just start doing the right thing.
But, you know, despite all the negative drumbeat from mainstream media, despite all of the, you know, the loud outrage over August, support in the public for the public option and for health care reform has stayed incredibly steady, continues now to be going up. And in the House, the debate is really what kind of a public option are we going to pass out of the House, not whether or not we will have one. I mean, It's really a sea change since we've come back into session.
Do you, take a listen to this, Congresswoman. Do you agree with your colleague, Representative Anthony Weiner?
The question is when and if he wades into this debate that we're having in Congress now and starts to make the phone calls and starts to lean on people and say that we really need this, if he does that, it's going to pass. That's always the way these things happen with big presidential leadership.
What do you think?
I think it's true, but I also think right now in the House we have the votes for a public option. I think that at the you know, in the last vote before we put it on his desk, we may certainly want to have our spokesman in chief for a health care reform, but you know, we're doing pretty well. Barack Obama to the equation, and I really do think that before, I mean, this is a historic, you know, we talk about it sometimes as if it's just another program. This will be a moment that Americans will remember, just like the passage of Social Security or Medicare. It's huge.
Yep.
And having him working the chambers for us will be very important.
And you know what will be the most fun is watching our friends on the right wing when the president gets both the Olympics and health care reform.
I love it. And you know, it'll be even be more fun when they start having to change their position and say, oh, yes, this is good that all Americans have health care. I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, a rockin' congresswoman from Illinois, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
Thanks, Chicagoans. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. There she goes.
Yay.
Oh, we love us in Chicago. You know who else we love us? Some mama's hometown of Buffalo, New York. Joey has sent me, did you see the poll?
I did. I voted in the poll.
Shh. You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, sorry.
It's our station in Buffalo, mama's hometown.
Oops. Okay.
Up the transit from my hometown of Lackport.
That's right.
WKBW, 1520 AM, our station, they did a poll. Who is your favorite host?
Stephanie Miller.
Way out in front. Way out in front, Buffalo. Mama loves you. Mama loves you. It was only one vote. I'm sure you didn't tip it. I was a landslide.
That's right.
All right. Julie in Seattle writes, she gets these little Eric Cantor-grams. Cantor has sent an email, Jim, on the disconnect between Washington and the American people. I wonder if he refers to the fact that 70% of the American people want a meaningful health care reform with a public option and Republicans don't.
Right.
You mean that
That's
kind
disconnect.
Of disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
He writes, last week, Leader Hoyer indicated he would be willing and wanted to meet with us, and he specifically said he'd meet with me. I've yet to hear from him so that we can sit down. Julie writes, poor Eric Cantor, hanging by the telephone, waiting for a man to call. We can relate, Julie.
Let
and I.
His peace be him.
Steny? Steny?
Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Aww.
It must be him.
Fuck up there, little feller. Julie and I can relate. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Today's Broken, our top story. Mentioned this last hour, the Newsmax article that brought up the possibility of a military coup against President Obama. They wrote that there is a remote, although gaining possibility, America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the Obama problem. At any rate, the RNC appears to provide financial support to Newsmax, the website where this article appeared, which seems to suggest the overthrow of the government. The RNC also has rented an email list from WorldNet Daily via its birther central over there. Yeah. We have Michael Steele on all this.
Hey, baby. I'm just keeping it real.
It's not a whole East Coast, West Coast thing. In fact, it ain't no thing at all. I'm just saying we got an Obama problem because Barry Hussein be all up on our grill about Nazi commie socialist control of our lives and death panels for grandma and... No. Bleep. Hey, if it's going to take a military coup to his... I'm down with that. That's just how I roll. Old Barry think he'd be the man because of the Constitution. Well, I'm going to get me some restitution because Sister Michelle B. told me I'd be the man. So if it's going to be revolution, it'd be I. What? What, too much? Is it the hat? Don't the kids wear them sideways anymore? How about the bling? Too much? Okay, the gold tooth is a bit of an extravagance and the Escalade's a bit over the top. But hey, they don't make rims like these that'll fit on my Prius. What? Ooh. Oreos. Yum. I gotta go.
He's a ridiculous little man.
Yes,
he really is.
Speaking of ridiculous Republican men, the Boner, House Minority Leader John the Boner,
uh-huh.
He torched President Obama for his trip to pitch the Chicago Olympics bid, criticizing the president for going off to Copenhagen when we've got serious issues here at home.
Even Ann Coulter on the O'Reilly Factor yesterday said, yeah, it's not a big deal that he's going to Copenhagen.
Yeah, for 14 hours.
Yeah.
He said, listen, I think it's a great idea to promote Chicago.
That's where she got her sex change.
Listen, I...
No.
He said, listen, I think it's a great idea to promote Chicago.
Uh-oh.
How is bringing the Olympics to America just promoting Chicago?
That's in Canada, isn't it?
Something that northern section. I think it's a great idea to promote Chicago, but he's the president of the United States, not the mayor of Chicago. The problems we have here at home affect all Americans. That's where his attention ought to be. Yeah, because his attention isn't here at all. It's okay. By the way, speaking of things here at home, the top commander of the U.S. troops in Iraq told House lawmakers Wednesday he expects to accelerate the pace of the military's withdrawal and bring home another 4,000 soldiers from Iraq by the end of October. That's faster than originally planned. Hmm. We have, I believe, the boner on all this. Mm-hmm.
What the heck is the Obama administration thinking? It's going out to Copenhagen to put this Olympics nonsense when we got serious issues that need to be debated here at home. For example, how we Republicans can slow walk this radical commie health care plan to death. And where the heck is the damn birth certificate? And why the heck are we accelerating troop withdrawals out of Iraq when we should be starting another surge? Why doesn't Obama listen to the generals on the ground? Should be at the top of his list. But no, he listens to some left-wing terrorist with a French-sounding name. Who the hell is this Orgierno clown? Why doesn't Obama listen to the What's that? He is one of the generals on the ground? Crap! What the hell's going on? Troops withdrawing from Iraq, 350,000 jobs in Chicago, and I won't get to work on my can in Rio. My whole world is falling apart. Barkeep, give me a picture of Rob Roy's and keep him coming. It's at the top of my list.
Do Rob Roy's come by the pitcher?
In his world.
In his world, they do. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week, tell your friends. They do at Barfy's Bar and Grill, where he and Tom DeLay go to drink.
Okay.
20 minutes ahead.
Yuck.
After the hour. More Michael Steele is an asshat news as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show next.
To be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Four minutes after the hour.
The Dow is now down 109 points. It seems to be dropping.
24 minutes after the hour, except for private health insurance companies doing very well for some weird reason. Let's go to Liz in Niagara Falls. Slowly I turned. Hello, Liz.
Liz?
Oh, I have the wrong
That's
line.
Oops.
That's okay. I'll take it.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Vic. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, you know what? I want to talk about the debate and why we're losing it. I was the head.
We're not losing it. But all right, go ahead.
We're just now starting to recover, and we need more guys like Alan Grayson. I tell you, I was the head debater at my college. I was the lead debater. They counted on me for everything. They called me the masturbator.
Oh, dear. Yes.
And this is why we're losing it. Well, this is why we need to be more forceful on the debate. The first thing in debate rhetoric is you do not try to use your intellect. You approach the person using emotions and their value systems. And this is what you have. And that's what we're not doing on the Democratic Party.
Yep. We need more like Alan Grayson that are fighting back and less that are taking cash, which, by the way, we'll get to how much cash certain Democrats are taking. From the health insurance industry. I think I'll wait for Michael Moore for that in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Liz in Niagara Falls. There you are. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Steph. This is Liz from Niagara Falls, just up the transit.
Up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport, near Chickawagalackawan and Tanawanda.
Yeah, and I listened to you on WWKV, and I voted for you.
Thank you!
Yeah. I am a retired physician who last practiced in Lackport. And one of the main reasons I retired is because private industry isn't paying doctors enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a point I haven't heard people make. They'll talk about that the public option will make fewer doctors available. There won't be enough docs. But what I don't think people understand is the reimbursement for present physicians hasn't increased in years. We don't get a cost of living increase. Our secretaries do, the utilities go up, but our income and reimbursement has been flat.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point, in order to provide the quality of care that I wanted to, I was losing money.
Yep.
I almost went bankrupt. This is one of the reasons you see GPs seeing more and more patients every day. You can't increase what you charge because the private insurance has set the rates.
Yep, absolutely.
So the only way you can make a living and cover your own expenses is to see more patients an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's wrong. You're right with the whole private health insurance industry. That's what we really are talking about, Doc. Right? It's health insurance reform.
Well, what you say, exactly? I mean, people are seeing their premiums go up and up and up, but it's not going to the doctor.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Liz. Appreciate it. She practices in my hometown of Lackport.
Maybe you went to her.
No.
Maybe she's seen your.
No, she has not. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, and don't make a joke about the Puntillo brothers.
Okay.
Hello, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I look at, first of all, we do need the Olympics going to Chicago because simple fact is I live in Madison and we would actually get some of the bike racing here
mm-hmm.
in
Ooh.
Wisconsin.
Cool.
So it's not just going to affect the economy in Chicago. It also affects Wisconsin and other states that are going to receive some of the actual Olympic Games.
Yes, good point. All right, filmmaker Michael Moore, his new film, Capitalism, A Love Story, getting great reviews. We will talk to him next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I won't let you down. I'll be the best little capitalist princess you ever had.
Wow, that's irritating. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Powerpuff Girls, I think.
Step one, too. I love Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, my God.
That was Grey Delisle, I think.
Mason in Virginia Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mason.
How are you doing, Stephanie? I love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on Congressman Gay Greasing.
Yes.
I wanted to say thank you, Congressman, for being the only guy to stand up for the Democrats and the progressives.
Yep.
And we should support him and stop trying to water him down.
Yeah, I agree.
I was watching the Rachel Maddow show last night, and she kept on trying to get an apology from him, and I don't appreciate that.
Well,
he
I think...
He should stand where he's saying right now. He should remain saying that and say it like it is.
Well, I think what, you know...
We need some people with some fire, okay?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, I think she was probably... You know, obviously, he could have chosen a word or two differently, like using the word Holocaust. But, you know, frankly, it's the same over-the-top rhetoric that we're used to from Republicans. I mean, Rachel played a whole montage of Republicans saying essentially the same thing. Virginia Fox, the Democrats want you to die. It's, you know, going to put seniors in the position of being put to death. I mean, there was a million different versions. I can't remember all the Republicans. And nobody said a thing about
right.
that.
Right. And it's obviously a sort of mocking response to that, but it happens to be true that the
insurance
industry
him.
Is killing people.
Yes.
Let's hear the boy.
I mean, that's the thing you realize is the Republicans, don't care about hypocrisy. I think they know that they're a giant.
Wheel
yes.
of right-wing hypocrites!
You remember when we just tried to get a resolution against Joe Wilson? And that's for the future of the body. That you can't just say it's okay to scream at a president. Whoever it is, that is against House rules. That's why there's a resolution. This, by the way, isn't against House rules. Otherwise, that long string of Republicans that said almost the same thing about Democrats and health care. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and you remember when we did the resolution, Jim? They called it, this is a partisan stunt and a spectacle, and we're taking time away from health. And now what's his name? Representative Tom Price of Georgia? He drafted a resolution of disapproval. Saying Grayson's conduct was a breach of decorum and degraded the integrity and proceedings of the House. All the same guys that voted against the resolution for Joe Wilson. Unbelievable. He said, get this, Representative Price said, the American people want open and honest discussion. They want respectful discussion, which I guess includes yelling liar at the President of the United States. Which, by the way, in itself was a lie because about the illegal immigrant thing. Which
no, they want respectful discussion from the Democrats. They want Democrats to unilaterally disarm.
Yes. Speaking to reporters, Grayson said his floor speech was tongue-in-cheek, but he also said it was an accurate description of the Republican health care proposal, which he said would do nothing to help the uninsured, asserting he also violated no house rules, which also is true. RNC Chair Michael Steele called Grayson's comments a smear against the GOP. If the Democrats are serious about the importance of civil debate on the floor of the House, then both Nancy Pelosi and President Obama should condemn Alan Grayson's outrageous and completely inappropriate blah, blah, blah.
Oh, for the love of all things holy.
Are you kidding me? Right after they excused Joe Wilson. I mean, it really, they have no shame at all. I mean, unbelievable. And frankly, when 45,000 Americans are dying a year, you call it what you want. But, you know, that is not a plan that we should be sticking with.
If terrorists were killing 45,000 people a year?
Yeah.
Dollars a year?
Well, if the Republicans would care if it was $45,000. If it was their $45,000, you'd hear an outcry.
Exactly.
That's their lunch money.
That's what, his point. He said the Republican Party's efforts to stonewall meaningful health care reform perpetuate a status quo in which 45,000 Americans die every year. Mm-hmm. If only there was someone that cared about things like that. Why? Look who's here. It's Michael Moore.
Hey! Hooray!
Hey there.
Good morning, Michael Moore.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm great. It's a thrill to have you on.
Thank you.
Hal Sparks was just in yesterday, and he said he saw your premiere, and he talked to you afterwards, and he said it is amazing, the new film, Capitalism, A Love Story.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, it's been getting a lot of very good response.
Well, and, you know, before we go on, let's talk about tonight. You're doing benefits for the jobless and the homeless in a lot of cities tonight?
Well, we're doing, in some of the hardest hit cities, we're doing free screenings for anyone who is out of work or who has lost their home to foreclosure. We're making the film available for free on the night before it goes, you know, public nationwide here. It's a small gesture to people who otherwise are going through very difficult times, but. And then in a number of other cities, there's going to be benefits. Local groups are doing benefits, and I'm giving the film to them so they can raise money for their local groups.
Oh, that's great. So michaelmoore.com, you can find out what cities and theaters and all of that. So this is the biggest opening you've ever had. It's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to open on 1,000 screens. We had a limited opening last weekend in New York and L.A., and it set the record for 2009 for any film that's been released this year for the per-screen average in the box office.
Wow.
So it turned out, you know, it's I'm hopeful that the rest of the country now, when it opens tomorrow, will come see it. You know, I've spent a year and a half making this film. We started making it actually before the crash, and I'm going to show you things that you're not seeing on the evening news, and people will be quite surprised.
Yeah, as per usual. In case you don't know, Capitalism, A Love Story is a look at last year's financial market collapse and the economic fallout that, ensued. But, you know, of course, I've seen just the clips are hilarious. You going to Goldman Sachs with the giant money bags and asking for our money back. Hilarious.
Right.
And then the ending is you encircle the entire with crime scene tape, right?
The New York Stock Exchange, right?
Yeah.
You have a way of going to the heart of these issues, though, in a way that, you know, it's not just funny and provocative. I mean, you point out you know, like we've been saying over and over, Michael, on this show, Sicko, your documentary about the healthcare, it should be recommended viewing, shouldn't it, for people in this healthcare debate right now?
Oh, I wish I could get this on network television right now, because it would really, it would show a lot of people the truth about universal health care, the suffering that so many people have to go through in this country, and how other countries have already figured this out. And they've been doing it for 50 years. They've made all the mistakes, so we don't have to make them. We can just learn from all the right things they do and put together our own system. We'd be so far ahead of things.
Yep.
But, you know, it's ironic. Somebody, a Canadian just sent me this listing that Sicko is going to be on the CBC. That's their, you know, public broadcasting
right.
in Canada this Sunday evening. And I can't get Sicko on, you know, network television.
Oh, I know. I've got to get your reaction, by the way, to Republican Senator Bob Corker said, when it comes to health care, Canada and France have a parasitic relationship toward the United States. I mean,
oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, he literally, apparently, they're paying the wrong price for drugs, and we're paying the price you're supposed to pay.
Right. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, I was just up in Canada at the Toronto Film Festival, and they've seen these ads that the other side's been running against universal health care down here and talking about Canada being like a third world country up there, and they just laugh. They cannot believe. I mean, people up there, they love their health care system. I mean, it has its problems like any other system does,
right.
But they would never trade their Canadian health care card for one of our, you know, Cigna cards or United Healthcare or any of this other crap that people have here.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the things we love about you, obviously, is you take on Republicans and Democrats. I'm sure you saw this, that the Democrats who voted against the public option got $19 million from the health care firms, the five Democratic members of the Senate Finance Committee.
That's right.
And it's that kind of stuff we need to be speaking out about, right?
I prefer to call them the five soon-to-be former members of the U.S.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
I mean, seriously, I am going to work against these guys. I am going to support whoever I can in the primary. The next time they're up for re-election, they have to be removed from the U.S. Senate. Bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Michael. We've been saying here all along is we're going. Why don't we start from single payer? It's even Max Baugh is like, I didn't vote for it because I didn't think it could happen. It's like, why are we so weak in negotiating when we finally have control?
I know, it's disgusting, and it makes you admire conservatives and Republicans, because they always have the courage of their convictions. They just say exactly what they think, and then they go for it. You know, on our side, it's like, I don't know, they might filibuster. Them what? Yeah, let them read from cookbooks for the next 24 days. I'd like to see them do that. You know, first of all, most of those Republicans wouldn't last 12 hours on their feet. You know, if their servants aren't in there propping them up. You know, let them read from cookbooks for 24 days to
right.
filibuster and see what the American people think of Republicans then. These are the guys trying to stop you from having a right to see a doctor without having to worry about paying for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it would fall right on their face.
I know. I'm with fighters like you and Howard Dean, who says, you know, okay, let's use reconciliation if we have to. They use it to ram the Bush tax cuts through. They make it sound like it's never been done before. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is outrageous. Why this has never been? Oh, okay, we just did it, you know, a bunch of times during the Bush years. Well, now, speaking of the Bush years, I mean, that's where obviously a lot of these bailouts started that you talk about in your film, right?
Well, yeah, and in the film, I have members of Congress explain for the first time how they did ram it through, how they created a situation of fear and panic last year. We have to pass this right now. Don't even read the bill. Just pass it.
Yep. Yep.
And,
I mean,
and it wasn't everything that it seemed to be. And once again, the American people were conned.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love, you know, the theme of the movie is, you know, these horror stories that you've assembled that illustrate why capitalism and democracy don't go hand in hand. And I love when you use their binkies against them like religion. I understand that you bring in the Catholic Church to, you know, basically say, look, it's immoral and incompatible with Jesus and the Bible, capitalism, in the way that it's done here, right?
Yes, Jesus makes a cameo appearance in this movie.
Awesome.
Wow. That's a tough booking.
To set these people straight, he did not walk the earth to say, go forth and maximize profits.
Right.
When the sick came to him to be healed, he didn't say, I'm sorry, I can't heal your pre-existing condition.
Yeah. What was the copay for leprosy, I wonder?
Exactly. if he had leprosy, yeah, Jesus would probably kick him right off the rolls.
Yes.
No, they couldn't even get any help.
They wouldn't even get an island to go live on. They wouldn't even get a colony.
No, he'd be shouting at them, you pay out of pocket.
MichaelMoore.com. You can find out much more about the film and where the pre-screenings are. Michael, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks so much for taking time.
Hey, Stephanie, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Michael Moore, Yee-hoo! Documentary filmmaker extraordinaire. That's a tough booking, but, you know, he got Jesus for his film. Oh, well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Michael,
who's his publicist?
Michael Moore style. We will tell you which Democrats got how much from which healthcare companies. And if you think that might be affecting anything as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because Democrats taking money from the health insurance companies. Okay. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That will make up for the misinformation that you put on my bullet point list for the last few days.
What?
Such as that Iran launched a missile that could reach Iran, and that we've started withdrawing forces from Iran instead of Iraq, you see, Jim. So a lot has been going on, courtesy of...
I've had some brain-related events as of late.
Okay. All right.
If only your health care package would cover it.
Representative... No, you need that. That needs to be the pre-existing condition in order to agree to work with
Stephanie Miller
in the first place. You need to have a brain-related event.
Have history of brain-related events.
I think this is a good idea.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
You also listed Representative Jan Schakowsky and Representative Frank Pallone as at the exact same time, which is not true.
Computer says no.
He will be coming up in about a half an hour.
I have been a bonehead lately, haven't I?
Right?
You are an idiot.
God.
Sharon in Northbrook, Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm an activist in the healthcare movement. I've been that way since it started. I want to quickly ask...
Well, we should all be, for God's sakes, with this healthcare industry the way it is.
Okay, can I make a statement and ask your opinion?
Okay.
One of the biggest problems I've seen, and I have been in Washington as a lobbyist, we've had rallies and protests last week down at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We cannot get, forget Fox, we cannot get the corporate media out to support us. Now, Blue Cross, NBC was locked down and never asked us a question. But let me give you an example.
Well, you know, people say that, they're like, oh, we need a revolution to get health care reform in this country. It's like, well, the media probably wouldn't even cover it. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's part of the problem. They cover all these right-wing crazies, and you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Well, this is my concern, and it goes as far as this way. You know, Jan Schakowsky comes out, and she has 2,000 people at her forum.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, all the media stations are outside, and they're interviewing all the crazies out there. You go to Mark Kirk, who sort of like skips town all the time and moves around trying to get away from the Democrats. He has one 9:30 at Tuesday where all the senior citizens are out there. All three major stations are inside focused on him. And he is not a moderate. He's very good at, you know, at diverting the message and making him look like he's a centrist, but he's a Boehner Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, what do we do? We've been fighting this for years. 10,000 people were in Washington at this HCAN rally.
Well, that's President Obama said the other day about, you know, the TV seems to gravitate to whoever screams the loudest, and that's, you know, what's unfortunate is that a lot of these lunatics, it's entertainment television at this
mm-hmm.
point. All right. The fun facts, or not so fun, depending if you don't have health insurance or not. Five Democratic members of the Senate Finance Committee who voted on Tuesday to shoot down a proposed public option for health care, a measure which polls show is favored by, get this, 81% of Democrats.
Huh.
You know, I saw Marcos Molitas last night from Daily Kos, and he was saying, really, some of these, it's inexplicable. I mean, the only way to explain it, I'm sorry, is the money they're getting because their constituents want it.
Absolutely.
Want a public option. You can go, oh, well, not in my district. I'm a conservative, blah, and it's not true. So he said, why do Democrats have a hard time not just doing what's right, but what's popular?
Yeah.
Those five senators have collectively been the recipients of over $19 million in donations from healthcare, pharmaceutical, and health insurance companies over the course of their congressional careers. Ha! Huh, this is going to seem odd to you, Jim. Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus? He alone accounts for nearly $8 million of the total. Huh. In addition,
what a coincidence that he's spearheading the effort against it.
Hmm. In addition, five of his former staff members, including two former chiefs of staff, are now lobbyists representing organizations with a strong interest in the health care bill.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper was right. Money changes everything.
Hmm. Blant.
Wow.
All right. First time he's thrown a Cyndi Lauper reference.
The Zen of Cyndi Lauper.
She was also, may I go on record as saying she was right about Ratty Roddy Piper as well. All right. Ratty, ratty, Piper, you rock. That's what she used to say. And I think she was right.
Yeah, like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Blanche Lincoln, listen, if he can throw in a Cyndi Lauper reference, so can I.
Okay.
Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas comes in second, $4 million in health insurance donations. Kent Conrad, third, around $3 million. Bill Nelson at $2.5 million. Tom Carper of Delaware at $1.5 million. Those are the five Democrats who voted against the public. Okay, just saying if you want to give any of them a ring-ding, just let them know what you think about the public option. Sally in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder if irony is totally lost on Republicans. One of their biggest arguments against the public option is the government will come between you and your doctor. Yet who is proposing that no money can go for a legal abortion, therefore it's coming between you and your doctor? Republicans that are doing it.
yes, that's different because Republicans are
doing
it.
That's why it's different.
Barry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Steph. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a physician in Indiana, and Tom Price, who's so outraged about Alan Grayson's comments on the floor, he sent me a lovely fax hidden through the National Republican Committee, and it tells me, it has my name on it. It says, you should join us in this campaign, and it says, government-run health care is not the answer with a big headline and all this socialist garbage. And the front of it is from him. It says from the Tom Price, and it's all this handwritten stuff looking like he wrote it, I guess, saying because of my esteemed position among physicians in Indiana that I have been chosen to join this. When it's really just a sleazy fundraiser, and he put my name on the thing.
Yeah, wow. I know. Unbelievable. You know, speaking of which, we've talked about Michael Steele a lot on this show, but, I mean, seriously.
I just threw up in my mouth.
He was on CNN, and he was asked about the Facebook poll that asked should Obama be killed.
Yeah.
And asked whether it was spawned by racism. Of course, no, I don't think, said Steele, adding he's always very careful about going down that road, so blindly and so quickly. He's a disgrace to not just his party, but his race. Because it's like, come on. When you're not going to admit that there is any element of racism against President Obama.
Yeah, and when the Secret Service reports that there have been 400 death threats against Obama.
He tried to deny that statistics. He said he dismissed the report that Obama has received 400% more threats than
400%
Bush.
Oh, 400% more,
that's what it was. Yeah, 400% more threats than Bush.
How many did Bush receive? I wonder that is.
But so he tries to dispute that. I mean, to me, that is just beyond the pale. 57 minutes after
the
hour.
What does the Secret Service know about that?
Back with more on that. Right Wing World and Representative Frank Plone from New Jersey on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. There's pictures of mommy's new baby, Freddy. Who's mommy's new baby, Freddy? Mama rescued a 8-month-old Great Pyrenees puppy. Freddie, it's up in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com.
In the Steph's Dogs section of the gallery.
And my interview with Tracy Ward of Gentle Giants Rescue, it will be up on the website after the show. Listen to that. They are doing the Lord's work out there. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yes.
And the Dow is now down 131 points.
Happy October 1st, everybody. Guess what more kids are going to get for Halloween this year? Rocks.
I got a rock.
I got a rock. I hope that's what we get for health care.
Yeah.
The National Retail Federation is out with its spending projections for the holiday, and they're grim. Total spending for Halloween expected to drop from $66.53 per family last year to $56.31 this year. Despite the number of consumers buying less candy, only about 5% said they won't be giving out any treats. I won't be giving out any treats. You know why, Chris?
Because nobody ever comes to your house.
No one ever comes to my house because I'm the scary dog lady.
You're the witch lady.
I'm the scary drinky doggy lady.
I wonder what boy band gives out for Halloween.
I live next door to a famous boy band member.
That's right.
Seriously, I get candy every year and nothing. I get nothing. I got no kids.
Do you really actually go and get...
I'm that lady. Oh, no. She probably has the apples with razor blades. Don't go there.
Scary witch lady. She's a scary, drinky lady that kisses her dogs.
You know what would get the kids to your house? Hmm. If you got the reputation of being the lady in the neighborhood that gives out the full-size candy bars instead of the little mini-size candy bars.
Listen, I have tried everything. I get nothing.
Right. You need to start a whisper campaign in your neighborhood.
Chocolate sundaes.
No,
yes, you give out chocolate sundaes.
The word's out. Kids don't come anywhere near my house. Oh, well. Jim, who said for 2 years the Democrats have charged that Republicans are the party of no?
Yes.
And that's grated on many nerves. Republicans have been talking about their proposals so much their faces are nearly blue. Who said that?
Who is Alex Trebek?
No, your friend, the lying sack of cute, Dana Perino.
Aww.
Talking about how they have so many plans they can barely get it all out. They've offered ideas to address the challenge of improving health care reform in America.
Compute says not.
Okay. But because they don't have the bully pulpit and can't get a word in edgewise, their ideas get lost. Who said that?
Bill Dana.
No, your good friend Dana Perino. They can't get a word in edgewise because they're so quiet and reserved.
But she looked so cute saying it.
Mm-hmm. Who said, while the Democrats try to get under their skin, Republicans have to try not to take the bait. They've got the best arguments, so keeping it on the merits is the best way to gain ground. Who said that?
Dana Andrews.
No. Dana Perino. I guess she read that whole Republican health care plan that they were waving at the president. Which contained...
all two lines of it, yeah.
Which contained...
Wahoo! Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing.
As my future husband, Representative Alan Grayson, said, he went over to pick one up. It literally blank. It was completely blank. Okay, which, much like their plan. Except that I think Alan Grayson has listened to our show. They do have a short plan, and it is...
Oh, for God's sake, just die!
Yep.
Joe in Charlotte, North Carolina, proud of Representative Grayson. Hello, Joe.
Hey, yeah, I was just wanting to comment on Grayson, and just in light of how the media usually just doesn't let voices like that on the air.
Yep.
It was very refreshing to see him be allowed to walk into the Situation Room and actually have a chance to clarify his statements to millions of people. I mean, I don't know if it wasn't millions because, well, it probably was millions, but that time of day, a lot of people probably aren't home from work yet.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of people...
I actually loved his apology even better. Yeah, I apologize. I apologize to the people Republicans have killed.
Did you like the knuckle dragging Neanderthal comment as much as me and James Carville did?
Which one?
The one where you called the Republicans in Congress a bunch of knuckle dragging Neanderthals.
Who? Grayson did?
Yeah, in the Situation Room. You didn't see that?
Oh, I didn't know. I've heard about him on the Situation Room. I gotta watch that. I heard.
Oh wow.
I heard he had a spirited, probably that made Wolf Blitzer more uncomfortable than usual.
Oh no. I hate it when people have opinions. It makes me want to explode. That and a hard cheese and drywall.
It made him more uncomfortable than Jack Cafferty does.
Yeah.
What with his honesty and all.
Yeah, shoot, that must have been on the hour of the Situation Room that I don't watch. I watched 2 hours of it. I don't watch all three.
He watched the wrong one.
I know.
Miguelito in Dallas.
Hello, folks. How are you?
you.
Good. Go ahead. On Congressman Grayson as well.
This guy is unbelievable. I got 2 points. It's unbelievable that you finally got a Democrat in Congress that has some balls to actually call these guys out.
Yep.
And play the kind of games that these guys have been known to play, which is, quite frankly, take no prisoners.
Yep, absolutely. I was talking before the break about Michael Steele. How disingenuous is that? He was on CNN, I was saying as well, and was asked about this Facebook poll about should the president be killed. And he said, was this in any part spawned by racism? No, I don't think so, of course, Steele said.
Based on what?
But this little guy, by the way, in case you've forgotten, that got famous for making up a story about being pelted by Oreos when he was running for lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
John Roberts followed up by asking Steele if he agreed with Tom Friedman's column in which he wrote that criticism from the far right has begun tipping over into delegitimization and creating the same kind of climate here that existed in Israel on the eve of the Rabin assassination. Where do these nut jobs come from? I mean, come on, stop this, said Steele.
Yeah.
He said then that America didn't have this kind of conversation when people were complaining and protesting about President Bush. Yeah, when do you remember there being a poll asking if President Bush should be assassinated?
Yeah. And when did people bring guns to... and one of Bush's speeches.
Yeah. John Roberts said that Obama has received 400% more threats than Steele, President Bush, according to the Secret Service, and so he just dismissed that.
Right.
He goes, well, I don't know that because I don't have a report to compare that to. The Secret Service has it. I haven't seen that publicly put out there statistically, blah, 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 blah.
In other words, the Secret Service doesn't know what they're talking about. But Michael Steele knows that it's not racism.
He said, what explains that? He said that threats against this president are a level 400% higher than they were against former President Bush. What explains that? So Steele, he just, rather than trying to really address the climate out there, he just dismisses it. Oh, I don't, 400? I don't believe that. He said, my point is, even if it is, I think we need to be very smart and very careful about making these leaps on race and connecting dots that may or may not exist here. Oh, please. Have you seen the signs at your own rallies, at 9/12 rallies and teabagging parties and God knows what else?
And he's the head of the RNC.
Yeah.
Wasn't your dad the head of the RNC at one point?
Yes.
Would he be proud of the job that Michael Steele is doing?
He is spinning furiously.
Yes.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we?
Step right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be the...
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the report, so it didn't happen. What? Don't look at me. What? It's you. It's not me. It's going this wrong.
Yeah. Nah. Okay. Mary Madeline on the... I see how we could get a real competition. That would not be a public option.
No,
she has other ideas.
If the president wanted to lower the cost of insurance, he could do so by infusing the system with real competition. The public option or the government running it, which has no way to make the insurance company more competitive. He should let insurance companies trade across state lines. He should have tort reform, not just talk about it in a speech, blah, 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 talk. There are real ways to infuse competition in the system, none of which he's offered up.
By tort reform, they mean keeping people from suing hospitals.
Yeah.
Right. Taking away people's right to sue in case something goes wrong.
Yeah, like that is going to force insurance companies to be competitive, that alone. Yeah, that's the only thing, because that would also hurt, trial lawyers, which, okay.
I have a family member of mine who shall remain nameless, but she wouldn't be alive today if she weren't able to sue the makers of Fen-Phen. Damaged heart valve because of it and had to have medication that costs... hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
That if she wasn't able to sue the makers of Fen-Phen, she wouldn't have been able to get the money for that medication, and she wouldn't be alive today.
Wow.
So, damn right we need to be able to sue doctors and makers of drugs that do harm to people.
Mm-hmm. O'Reilly, Michael Moore was just on. We should have played this for him. Okay.
Barack Obama won the election by running to the center and convincing many Americans that he was a moderate liberal, not a far-left guy. But that was then. Now the president seems to be intimidated by the radical left, which is urging him to champion extremely liberal causes.
Oh.
Guys like Michael Moore are actually lecturing the president.
Really?
Extreme left-wing causes like health care for all. Oh, who would want that?
I wonder if he's going to be on a plane with him to Copenhagen lecturing him all the way with charts and graphs and PowerPoint presentations. We should have asked Michael Moore.
Damn it.
I think he's a little busy, what with his film opening and all. Okay. Oh, Riley again on the liberal blah, blah, blah.
Look, the liberal American public were so powerful, mm-hmm. the liberal networks would do better, the newspapers would do better. I mean, there's not that many liberals.
Well, look at the numbers for Michael Moore's films.
Yeah.
Are people going to see them?
Yeah.
First of all, record opening last weekend.
Newspapers are declining because
election.
Of the internet.
Yeah.
He keeps putting that out there like that's a political issue.
Right.
It's like, please.
It's because right-wingers own a billion stations. And,
and you know what? Newspapers with conservative leanings are also declining.
Thank you. Thank you.
What? Bastard.
What? How can that? What? No.
You know why? It's because we don't have big thinkers like Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, an amazing woman. And we have Letterman's picking on her again later on in the broadcast. But her book, which is going to be out November 17th, Going Rogue, is now number 2 on Amazon and number 1 on BarnesandNoble.com. You know, these are pre-orders.
So she must be smart.
I really think this woman, Sarah Palin, is underestimated by the American media.
And who is paying for all those books? Who is buying these books, these pre-ordered books?
Groups like Newsmax, groups like World Nut Daily.
Yep.
So they can give them away as premiums for people signing up on their website.
And by the way, here's some fun facts about Sarah Palin. Since she resigned as governor, she has signed on with the Washington Speakers Bureau, hoping to cash in on her fame. She did do the one speech, obviously, to mixed reviews in Asia. She's reportedly having trouble getting booked for more. Palin's bookers are said to be asking $100,000 a speech.
I need $100,000.
You betcha. Oh, golly. Says an industry expert, the big lecture buyers in the U.S. are paralyzed with fear about booking her, though, basically because they think she's a blithering idiot. Palin is so uninteresting to so many groups, unless they're interested in moose hunting, said the insider. What does she have to say? She can't even describe what she reads. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 23 minutes after the hour. Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I seem to have some general agreement in this healthcare thing that one of the worst ways for people to get healthcare is in the emergency room because it drives costs up. So I was discussing this the other day with some very conservative friends and said, well, then to be consistent, this push on illegals is really terrible. You ought to then say, well, then emergency rooms should also demand proof of citizenship before you treat illegals. And these conservatives ought to sponsor that legislation, and let's see how compassionate they appear before the public.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and then have to go and watch someone die in front of you because they don't have, Jeff in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks. This whole thing about competing across state lines for insurance, there's a good reason why Republicans and lobbyist Democrats are in favor of that. You know, in a fantasy world, maybe, but here's how it works in the real world. There's no effective national regulation, and then they can just simply, the insurers will just go to whatever state offers the least regulation. They'll be based out of that, just like the credit card companies. So we need to give up on this nonsense of, oh, yeah, we'll compete across state lines. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Here's the Republicans' latest front in the health care reform fight. Republican senator blames Canada. Everybody sing.
Blame Canada.
Republican Senator Bob Corker suggested Wednesday when it comes to health care, Canada and France have a parasitic relationship towards the United States.
What?
The Tennessee Republican told Canada's former president.
Canada needs to stop sucking on our teeth.
Yeah.
Huh?
Or as Chuck Grassley says.
No.
The Tennessee Republican told Canada's former public health minister that her country is living off of us because they set lower prices for health care and all the innovation, all the technology breakthroughs just about take place in our country, and we have to pay for it.
That means that we're being overcharged, not
yes.
the other way around.
Yes.
Well, what's the problem with that?
He said it's not really our country so much as the problem. It's sort of the parasitic relationship that Canada and France and other countries have towards us. You benefit from us, and we pay for that.
What? No. Huh?
That's... What? What? I don't...
Obviously getting lots of money from the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
No, hey, all my kickbacks are going to dry up. If you, you parasites.
Wow.
French.
And Nicole Wallace, former White House communications director, says it's Democrats that have alienated.
The Democrats' central problem is that they have alienated mainstream Americans in this debate. The public option and the other elements of the Democrats' plan seem too extreme to moderate Democrats and to independents.
Huh, really? So extreme? That's why 70% of the American people want a public option, because that's too...
Apparently 70% of the American people are far-left loons.
Oh, boy. They're actually more extreme than Democrats is the problem right now. Okay. Sean Hannity on the president going to Copenhagen again.
All right, all the hot-button issues facing the Obama administration will be put on hold tomorrow when the president heads to Copenhagen, Denmark, where he will meet with officials from the International Olympic Committee. Now, he's hoping this last-minute trip will help win support for the Chicago Olympics in 2016. Mm-hmm. But with the Iranian nuclear crisis, the war in Afghanistan, the debate over health care reform raging in Washington. So why is the president so concerned about bringing the Olympics to his hometown?
How about 350,000 jobs? How about that?
And that it was actually not just to Chicago. It would be actually America. And, Sean,
way,
why do you hate America so much?
There are means of communicating on Air Force One.
Yeah.
No. Everything has to go on hold, Jim. We discussed this yesterday.
He can't do anything unless he's in Washington. He has to be right there.
No, you have
to. Or nothing gets done.
Why?
He flies Southwest.
Known.
He flies Southwest. There's no air phones. There's nothing. Everything is on hold.
They throw a bag of peanuts at him and say, here! Be happy with that.
And then they land in Greenland and then in Canary Islands.
Please, can I use my BlackBerry? I need to know what's going on. No!
Computer says no.
Actually, Southwest is going to be getting Wi-Fi in all of its planes.
Oh, cool.
Oh, well,
so there you go.
See, then he wouldn't have to put everything on hold.
Of course, if you're sitting in one of those aisles where you don't have any opposite other people, it's kind of hard to...
They took all of those aisles out. It's been a while since you've flown Southwest.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, Mr. President, you can't talk to the Joint Chiefs and put your seat back up. Put your seatbelt on. Don't you see the light? There's turbulence. Oh, Sean.
You must stand behind the line. Cannot go to the bathroom.
Where do you think you're going? I don't care if you... No, get behind the white line.
Get.
I will tease you.
28. Oh, boy. More fun
we love
from the right-wing whack fest.
My wife used to be one.
How to Take Back America. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tell her to bite me.
Oh, boy. 33 minutes after the hour, everybody. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Ooh, the market is now down 151 points.
What's going on?
Yep. Zoinks.
Zoinks.
If only there was someone in the epicenter of Washington that knew what's going on. Congressman Frank Pallone, Democrat of the great state of New Jersey. Good morning, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
You know, I'm good. You know, it seems like private health insurance companies are the only ones whose stocks are doing well. What with the public option going down to defeat in the Senate Finance Committee the other day? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I have to say, Stephanie, there's still the possibility that it may be included in some form in the Senate because the Health Committee, which is the other committee, has it, and they'll probably combine the two committees. So you may end up with something, but it probably won't be a strong, you know, it might be like a target or something like that.
Right. Oh, do you mean a trigger option?
In other words, it's possible that they'll still put it in, but it may be, you know, in areas where there isn't private insurance or there's a monopoly on private insurance. I mean, we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give up hope in the Senate.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. You still have people like Senator Harkin and others saying we can do this. We will get a public option.
Well, because in the Health Committee they did it. So, you know, they have to figure out how to reconcile the two.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I like, you know, people like you that are still fighting for it. I don't frankly understand Senator Baucus saying, well, I'm for it, but I didn't vote for it because I didn't think we really could do it. Like, well, of course, if you're starting from that negotiating position, we're not going to.
Well,
right?
I think he suffers from the fact that he wanted to get Republican support. So the very idea from the beginning was to, you know, do a bipartisan bill. And to the extent that that was was the goal, it made it more difficult to get the public option because the Republicans weren't going to support it.
Yeah, well, I think many of us, it didn't take a psychic to realize that we were never going to get any Republican support.
Exactly.
I have to ask you, because you know the big story this morning is your colleague Representative Alan Grayson, who, I mean, I am struck by the sheer hypocrisy that Republicans would not condemn one of their own that screamed "you lie" at the President of the United States. And when Representative Grayson, even if he was, you know, a little over the top, said the same thing many, many Republicans have said about the Democratic plan.
Not only that, but I mean, not that it necessarily matters, but keep in mind that in the case of Wilson, he was actually maligning an individual. You know, I know it doesn't sound like much, but the Senate rules are much more strict about, you know, actually pointing to someone, whether it's the president or another colleague, and say, you did this, as opposed to saying it, you know, for the party or in a more generic sense.
Right.
I mean, I know that doesn't seem to matter much, but it does in terms of the rules.
Right, right. Well, you know, I have to tell you, from the rank and file, from, you know, our listeners and all that, people really applaud a Democrat with spine that stood up and said at least the truth that 45,000 people a year are dying without health insurance.
I mean, the fact is that they are, and the every study that comes out that shows that more and more people have no insurance, that the costs keep going up. I mean, some employers are going to face like 20% increases in premiums next year. It's just, you know, anyone who thinks that the status quo is somehow acceptable,
well,
I just don't get it.
Exactly. Well, Congressman, I think that's one of the biggest things is people that have insurance, say, through their company, they just don't think about this. But
they don't realize it's part of
what's bankrupting your company, which may make you lose your job, et cetera.
And it also means that you're not, you know, getting a wage increase. I mean, increasingly what happens now is there's no wage increase. It's because the health care increases.
Yep.
So it directly impacts you even if you don't lose your job.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the point. Well, Congressman Pallone, take us through where we're going next. So when is this going to get out of Senate Finance?
I don't know exactly. I mean, if I had a kind of an outside prediction, I'd say that we vote on the floor in the House, you know, within the next 2 weeks or so, certainly by the end of October, and that the Senate is maybe a week or two behind. So you'd expect, you know, maybe Senate committees, you know, getting together maybe by the end of the month, and they have a floor vote in November. So I think, you know, by the end of this month or sometime, you know, in the House and by mid-November in the Senate, and then, you know, you have a conference between the two, so you have a final vote, you know, sometime after Thanksgiving that goes to the president.
I have to get your comments on your leader, not your leader, but Leader Boehner, who apparently Chicago is not in America anymore. He said that the president, by trying to get the Olympics, is just being mayor of Chicago.
Well, you know, that's the absurdity of it. I mean, you know, everyone has a sense of pride from where they're from, you know, and of course I'm always promoting New Jersey and thinking New Jersey is the best. And, you know, the president's from Chicago. What's wrong with him trying to, you know, promote his hometown?
Right.
I just don't.
Well, but
know.
The fact is, it's like you think that would be a nice American bipartisan
feel
good moment to get the Olympics. And it's just, I mean, it just is further proof that they're just going to be against anything he's for, don't you think?
No, I agree. And, you know, I always say, you know, you know, I think it's important for people, you know, look, if you're an American, but you're also proud of your state and then you're proud of your city. And what do we, you know, where is this effort on the part of Boehner or others to constantly divide everyone, you know, whether it's based on race or it's based on gender or it's based on where you're from? It's just so awful, you know.
I know. Well, Congressman Pallone, that's what you and I are all about. We're about the uniting while they divide.
Exactly.
Thanks for taking time for us, as always, and checking in. Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey. Thank you, Frank.
Thank
all
you.
Right, there he goes, the great congressman. Aw, somebody's got to think Jersey's the best. Okay.
Oh, come on, there are nice parts of New Jersey.
Yes, there are. Just, Mama loves I live it back that way.
The freaking Garden State.
There are
for
nice.
For freak's sake.
There are
not
nice.
Not everybody thinks it rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap.
It's a suicide rap.
Suicide rap. You got to get out while you're young. Some people like it.
Although the only parts of New Jersey I've seen are from the New Jersey Turnpike, so
those aren't the, you know,
I know.
The, says
the best parts.
Yeah, with his little bodies of water and with shoes next to him. Middle of the Meadowlands.
You saw them.
I guess that guy was going someplace where he didn't need no shoes.
Yeah,
first place I ever went was, where did I go? It was for a college orientation thing when I was in high school. It was Secaucus. And I literally got off the plane and went, what is that?
It's Secaucus.
We apologize, New Jersey. Hey, Stephanie Miller Show loves them some Jersey.
We spent 3 days in Secaucus a couple of years ago.
Been to the Jersey Shore, had a lovely time.
Remember when we spent 3 days in Secaucus?
Yes, we filled in for the recently fired Don Imus.
Yes.
On MSNBC. Until we were also...
You're fired.
Although not technically. We were only a temporary hire.
And you can see some of what we did at jim-war.com.
Oh, well, look at you just slipping that in. All right. The president talking about the earthquake. Oh, by the way, Hal Sparks reminded us yesterday there is no killer weather. It has no intent. It's just weather.
Yeah.
It has no intent like Republicans.
My deepest sympathies are with the families who've lost loved ones and the many people whose lives have been affected by the earthquake and the tsunami. To aid in the response, I've declared this a major disaster to speed the deployment of resources. And FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is working closely with emergency responders on the ground. And the Coast Guard is helping to provide immediate help to those in need. We also stand ready to help our friends in neighboring Samoa and throughout the region. And we'll continue to monitor this situation closely as we keep the many people who've been touched by this tragedy in our thoughts and in our prayers.
Yeah,
hey, Jim, you know how the healthcare debate, it's government can't run anything, government can't run it, like FEMA, for instance, which, you know, for some reason ran so disastrously under George Bush in Hurricane
Katrina.
Worked
very well under Bill Clinton.
Yes. The breaking news this morning, President Obama, blah, blah, blah. The deadly tsunami that struck American Samoa on Tuesday, the FEMA planes have started arriving from Hawaii within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Huh.
It takes actually 5 hours to get there, so, that's weird. FEMA seems to be working well again.
Yeah,
it's halfway across the world.
Government agency.
Samoa is.
Weird, weird, weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more wackiness from the right-wing whack convention, the How to Take Back America thing.
There's more?
Oh, there was a panel.
Oh, God.
Tell you what their conclusion was about the president as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Rob. Stephanie Miller. Rob. Stephanie Miller. Rob. Stephanie Miller.
Freak, that would be me, Stephanie Miller. 47 minutes after.
But you're
the
not
hour.
A rock freak.
No, I'm just the freak.
Okay.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Go to StephanieMiller.com in the gallery section. See Mama's new baby, Freddy.
Yes.
Max has a new little mini-me named Freddy. And go listen to the interview with Tracy Ward from GentleGiantsRescue.com. Go rescue or donate today if you can. In honor of Freddy, mommy. Okay, Mark in Portland, Oregon, which that's the new reason I'm not prepared, because he lays on me in the morning when I'm doing show prep.
Yes.
Good boy. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing?
Good.
I'd like to disagree with Representative Grayson, is it, who said that the Republicans' health plan is just die?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, the other financier of the Republican Party is the banking and credit card industry. So their real plan is that first they want you to get a bunch of credit cards when you get sick, pay for your health care with the credit cards, run yourself into bankruptcy, so then they can get, before you die, then they can get their claws into your estate and your family, too.
Yes, it's actually a little more expensive than just hurry up and die.
Right.
That's the simple version. Okay, more fun from the How to Take Back America conference. Oh, boy, do I wish I were there last weekend.
It's a Phyllis Schlafly thing that we've been reporting on all week, right? Okay.
Attended by several Republican lawmakers. They had a panel. Neocon, you know him, Frank Gaffney, right, Jim?
Mm.
He's a former Reagan official. Right-wing historian Bill Federer and a Christian activist, Walid somebody, Shubat.
Let's call him a Christian activist.
He's a Christian activist. They hosted a panel on how to understand Islam. An attendee of the panel asked the three speakers if they would consider President Obama a Christian or a Muslim, given his quote-unquote roots. Frank Gaffney.
He's black. Why would a Christian activist be on a panel about Muslims?
Frank Gaffney said there is evidence that a lot of Muslims think he's Muslim.
Huh?
Oh, well, so that's it then.
That settles it.
Yes. But whether he is or whether he isn't, the key to me is that what he's pursuing is indistinguishable in important respects from that of the Muslim Brotherhood.
What?
Whose mission is to destroy Western civilization from within by its own miserable hand. That's what we need to keep our eye on. That the president clearly is trying to destroy Western civilization. Because he's in the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, Federer went on to say, in Islam, if your father's a Muslim, you're automatically a Muslim. Since Barack's father, stepfather, and grandfather were all Muslim, the Muslim world views him as a Muslim. Muhammad allowed his warriors to say they're not Muslim to gain advantage.
See how tricky he is?
And, but he's, Islam permits you to lie to advance Islam.
What?!
Saul Alinsky allows you to lie to advance your communist agenda. You can put them together.
Is this guy a Christian activist?
Is this the Christian activist? No, he would be the right-wing historian.
Oh, okay. Well, then apparently historians are allowed to lie in order to push their agenda.
Yes.
Mr. Shubat. Then
Shubat.
Seriously, that's his name. He said, did you know that your president knows how to do the call to prayer in eloquent classical Arabic? No one can do this in classical Arabic language unless he grew up and was raised a Muslim.
Mm, prove it, Mr. Shubham.
Yes.
Shubat.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Shubat advocated...
different kind of weapon altogether.
Would you believe the Shubat?
I have a bat in my shoe. Shubat advocated entering Arab countries and converting Muslims to Christianity. He also went on a rant about how Muslims in meat packaging plants are contaminating America's food supply because their hands are unclean. Okay, I think that'll be the last story from the How to Take Back America conference.
What the?
They're slowly killing America. They're not taking it back.
Okie dokie dokie then.
It back 500 years.
Yeah, exactly.
The White House has accused Republicans of game-playing over critical troop deployment decisions as President Obama huddled with top aides in an Afghan war strategy review. Yes, the whole reviewing with the generals and thinking about a strategy before one reacts in a military said they don't like that.
Hmm.
On the right, Eric Cantor claimed in an interview that White House delays were putting the lives of service personnel at risk.
What?
I would say this to Congressman Cantor and everybody else. The American people deserve an assessment that's beyond game playing, said White House spokesman Robert Gibbs. The men and women in Afghanistan that we've sent to serve and protect freedom deserve that. Gibbs accused Cantor of inconsistency, saying he had not made such claims when previous Afghanistan troop requests were pending under ex-President George W. Bush. He said, I don't remember him going on newspaper or on television saying that the commander-in-chief was endangering the lives of men and women in Afghanistan. Robert Gibbs yesterday.
We won't be there forever. And at some point, it is going to be incumbent upon the Afghans to be able to administer, again, that base level of government without corruption.
You know what, Jim? I'm going to guess that the boner thinks that this should be at the top of our list.
And all of this waiting and doubting does nothing more than arm the enemy with more information and more time in order to further destabilize the country of Afghanistan.
What a boner. It's not waiting and... what was the other thing he said? Wondering or what? This is what people do when they think things through, you
right.
Moron. You ought to do it in the tanning bed now and again.
Don't think about it. You got to do something now. Move. Jump around. Set your hair on fire. Just do something.
He doesn't even go into a tanning booth. He uses that Mystic Tan. You know, that spray-on tan.
Robert Gibbs.
The president is going to have a top-to-bottom assessment to ensure that we have a strategy that meets our goal.
All right. That sounds French and gay to me, but whatever. Robert Gibbs.
Now I would say this to Congressman Cantor and everybody else. The American people deserve an assessment that's beyond game playing.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the generals on the ground, the generals say the Dick and Liz show, Dick and Liz Cheney, are the scaremongering about Gitmo, is not so good. Isn't that interesting? About a dozen generals and admirals trying to add momentum to President Obama's effort to close Gitmo are accusing Dick Cheney and his demon seed of scaremongering about the dangers of closing it. Brigadier General James Cullen said it's up to all of us to say these arguments advanced by Cheney and his acolytes are nonsense, and really what they're doing is undermining our national security by delaying the date at which Guantanamo is closed. General David Mattox said some of the fear issues that are being raised in this are really unfortunate. It gets people excited about the things they shouldn't be excited about and impedes doing what is critical to this country. Get that damn symbol off the table. We take a setback every time somebody, whether it's the vice president or his daughter, comes out and says the things that they are saying. We have to go out there and just keep pounding. Thank you, generals. Speaking of listening to the generals. All right. By the way, this is all the right wing has these days. You know, we were talking about how, thank God, Alan Grayson and others, like the left, is starting to fight back. There was an article about this the other day, that they've gone after Glenn Beck's sponsors and whatever, which, by the way, we're not for that. Because that can happen to anybody.
Yes. Yeah. We're for people tuning out Glenn Beck.
What's that?
We're for people tuning out Glenn Beck.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
going
no, actually, the problem is Beck's ratings have soared.
Yeah, I know.
In part because of that, and Fox hasn't lost revenue because the ads were just moved to other programs.
Right.
So as long as his ratings stay high. But anyway, they were saying that the media didn't even cover that. That was obviously just payback. Getting Van Jones was payback because colorofchange.org, you know, Van Jones was behind that talking to Beck calling the president a racist. Anyway, but it clearly was payback for that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but this is the kind of gotcha that they're getting with. Tell me what this means to you. The Obama administration defended an Education Department official over advice that he gave a gay student about sex 21 years ago. This is going to be the latest thing on Fox.
It already is.
Yeah. The official Kevin Jennings says he should have handled the situation differently when he told the boy he hoped that he'd used a condom during a sexual encounter with an older man. Jennings, who now heads the department's Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools, has been under fire from conservatives and right-wing groups for not reporting the incident to authorities or to the boy's parents. Jennings was teaching high school in Concord, Massachusetts in 1988 when a sophomore boy confessed of an involvement with an older man in Boston. Telling the story a dozen years later, Jennings described how the boy told of his meeting a man and going home with him. Jennings said he told the boy, "My best friend had just died of AIDS the week before. You know, I hope you knew to use a condom." In a statement, Jennings said, 21 years later, I can see how I should have handled the situation differently. I should have asked for more information and consulted medical or legal authorities. Teachers back then had little training and guidance about this kind of thing. All teachers should have had a basic level of preparedness. I would like to see the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools play a bigger role in helping to prepare teachers. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but there's going to be no good people left if they're going to play gotcha with every official that's And by the way, my high school boyfriend died of AIDS, and it was a very similar situation. He was with an older man, and nobody even knew what AIDS was back then in the late 70s, early 80s. And so I agree that that's the most outrageous thing, that back at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, you might have said to someone, I hope you used a condom. That's the first thing to making sure the kid stays alive. Then maybe you go to the next.
And Media Matters for America is reporting that there's a lot of anti-gay rhetoric going around on the on the interlinks because of this whole situation.
Yep.
It's just ugly.
All right, we'll get into that more tomorrow. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Miranda in for Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.